we have sort of a problem here.
Yeah.
I'm as mad as hell.
Should we drink before the meeting or after?
Or both?
Put my stuff in Jell-O again.
Hey, need a hand with that?
No, Al. I want to spill booze all over my $6,300 suit. Come on!
Hey! Inappropriate workplace topic.
Yesterday, we were reminded of how in an office setting, even trivial things can get inflated into a crisis that seeps into the workday like the grease from fried fish staining a paper bag. And we explored office food dramas, and that was a good way to get back to business after a summer holiday weekend. But today, our series, Occupational Hazards, takes up the challenge of staying healthy in a place where long hours in the same position or performing the same tasks over and over again can push the body beyond its warranty coverage and get you into some health trouble, be it stress, weight gain, bad diet, or just bad posture and vision habits. Mary Harris, health reporter for our partner WNYC, says the place to tackle this is not so much in the gym down the street, but doing things right at your desk.
There are a bunch of things you can do. One of the things is you can just get up once an hour. This sounds really simple, but a lot of us just sit. Yesterday, I sat for 6 hours straight. Not good for me. If sitting is the new smoking, I smoked like a pack. So that's what you really need to do. You need to get up and move once an hour. Just schedule those breaks in, walk around the block. You can also schedule walking meetings where when you're meeting with someone, you're not sitting at a desk. You're actually going out and doing something together. And it can get the creative juices flowing, and it also just gets you out of your chair.
Now, if you're going to have a meeting with someone who's superior to you, do you suggest a walking meeting, or is that a little awkward?
Little awkward.
All right. So it has to be someone on your level.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing is, if you're a boss, think about how you would process this. I talked to a friend who's an editor, and she said at one of her jobs, where it was a health magazine, it was kosher for people to say, listen, I haven't gone to the gym for a couple of days. I need to leave at 5 and go exercise. Not a lot of offices are like that. But if you're a boss, you can really think about how I set the tone for my employees.
There's a psychological component. I think sometimes at work, people view lunch as like, all right, that was 6 hours of misery. Now I'm going to reward myself. And so you're more likely to indulge in your office lunch than you are maybe at home.
I think that's totally, totally true. And one of the things I'd say is you should structure those indulgences in, but maybe ration them out a little bit once a week as opposed to once a day.
Mm.
Just control how much you're doing it because it'll help you a lot.
And if your job involves a lot of online interactions with people and to-do lists that never shrink in sort of the tech world, how do you manage the sense that there's a deadline that you're always missing?
Well, so I'm glad you brought up tech because I feel like people don't think of tech as a health thing, but it really is. I'm going to tell you about this study, which was so amazing. It was just 13 people, so really small. Who knows how generalizable, but I think we'll all relate to it. They had the people in this study go off email for a week at work, totally cold turkey. Their bosses knew if they wanted to get something done, they had to go find someone physically. And they monitored their stress, their heart rates, and found that all their measures of stress went down. This constant communication, constant interruption, it really does impact our health day to day. So there are lots of great tips out there for how to manage it. One of them is to really just save certain times of the day for responding to notes. Don't have the notifications pop up that are constantly interrupting you. Some of us can do it. Some of us can't. The other thing to say is just if you have a BlackBerry or an iPhone and you're working while you're at home, make some limits on that, whether it's not doing it at the dinner table or whether it's not doing it an hour before bedtime, because that blue light really can keep you awake at night, and that's not good for you either.
As futuristic as tech is, in fact, when you do the notifications, you're really transforming yourself into a kind of a brainstem state of being watched.
Yeah, exactly. We're all like, what is it, the curious hamster on YouTube, the little guy who's always looking up and looking around. And it's exhausting.
It is exhausting. Well, I feel better. Are you going to check in with me, in like a couple of months and do some data? And
you're going to follow my regimen?
Put it online and embarrass me?
Can I?
Thanks for asking. Mary Harris, senior producer for Health Reporting at WNYC. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Join us tomorrow as we continue our occupational hazard series with thoughts about the challenges of making the home and the workplace work together.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.